As we open our hearts to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this beautiful feast of Pentecost, could you take a moment to pray for me that I can be an instrument of the Holy Spirit and not a hindrance so that the grace of His love can touch your hearts? Let us pray for each other for just a moment. And let us together ask the intercession of Our Lady, who opened herself totally to the Holy Spirit, as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Yesterday evening, at the vigil of Pentecost, when we began this great celebration, we reflected on the thirst that we have, a thirst that causes all kinds of symptoms to come out of us, muscle cramps and heart palpitations and dizziness and weakness and confusion, even constipation. Sometimes we feel this thirst spiritually in our lives. And then we cry out. We've learned that word through the Holy Spirit, who comes to the aid of our weakness and teaches us to cry out, Abba, Father. In the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is not temporary but permanent, which is not outside of us so that we have to go somewhere to find Him, but is inside of us, indwelling, so that at any time we can cry out, Abba, Father. He makes it possible for us to know at all times that there is a Father who loves us, and it is that love that quenches our thirst. And so whenever we feel dizzy, we cry out, Abba. Whenever we feel muscle cramps, cramped in our spirit, cramped in our convent, we cry out, Abba, Father. Whenever we feel that someone else has problems and we are suffering, we cry out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit quenches our thirst. But one of the mysteries is that the Holy Spirit also causes our thirst. As we sang in the Pentecost sequence, He is Father of our poverty. Come, Father of the poor. And right after that, we say, Come, Giver of gifts. Have you ever tried to give a gift to someone who already had it? It's so disappointing. They try to make an effort like, oh, thank you. It's just what I already had. The Holy Spirit makes us poor. He makes us thirsty. And then He quenches our thirst. One of my great joys in life is eating. But what would happen if we could only eat once and then we were satisfied? Isn't it a joy that we become hungry again? It makes it especially exciting to fast, to know that the fast will be broken. It makes it feel good to be thirsty, to know that our thirst will be quenched. The problem we have is when we are hungry and we're not sure if there's any food coming, if we are thirsty and we're not sure if there is any water to drink. But it's exciting to be thirsty, to be hungry, to be poor, if we know that there will be water and food and gifts. The Holy Spirit makes us thirsty, but the Holy Spirit quenches our gifts, quenches our thirst. He gives us gifts in our poverty. We can look at this also in the beauty of, in beauty. The Holy Spirit is Himself beauty, because beauty requires complementarity. Beauty requires difference that's placed in balanced and harmonized. The Holy Spirit creates difference, and sometimes difference confuses us and frustrates us. But the Holy Spirit is the one who also brings the harmony, the unity. One of my great frustrations in life is that I can't be a TOR sister. But the Holy Spirit makes it possible for me to love TOR sisters and to have the beauty of complementarity and the balance that comes with difference. My only consolation in leaving here is the hope of coming back. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us poor, and at first we resist this because it's hard to be poor, it's hard to separate, it's hard to be different. It's hard to be thirsty. It's hard to be hungry. In a beautiful reading that many of us have reflected on already from the Magnificat several months ago from Father Tadeusz Deitcher, he says, "St. John of the Cross has said that God loves a soul most when he strips it. For one can then achieve the fullness of faith when you have no support in any of your systems of security. Then God can attract you to rely solely on him, the only rock of our salvation. The stripping of us makes room for faith, which demands humility. By stripping us of our power and strength, God brings us closer to himself, places us in the truth, and causes us to need him more. This is an extraordinary grace. The grace of nakedness is a special gift of the Holy Spirit, who before descending on a person, strips him. Often we do not understand fully the work of the Holy Spirit. We know that he is the power, the paraclete, and the love of the Father and the Son, but we often forget that it is he who is the principal author of our holiness. Therefore, he is the one who brings about the entire process, which is indispensable to us on our path toward unity with God. This process has elements of attraction and elements of purgation. It is the Holy Spirit who strips us. It is he who renders us to become poor. Stripping us and making us even poorer is his gift, so that we may be more open to his strength and to his love. Only then will he himself become a gift for us, for then he will be able to descend into the emptiness of our nakedness and fill us with his infinite power and love." And so we can see this operation in all of the gifts, those sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit, that gift of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is this reverence. The reason that it's a fear is because we become in touch with our clumsiness and our coarseness. We're in danger of breaking something that's fragile and delicate, which are those graces that the Lord gives us, subtle graces in our hearts. But because of our clumsiness and coarseness, we have a way of smashing them. The fear of the Lord is a desire to be as reverent and delicate as the touches of love that the Lord gives us. He provides these very delicate things, and it would only be a frustration for us to have delicate things if he didn't also provide the delicacy of heart to be able to treasure them. Think of a little child. I love to see little children who, for the first time, have a little bunny rabbit or a little kitten, and they kind of grab it by the head, and the kitten screams and the child is confused, and it would just be frustration and torture if there weren't also a mother there who could say, "Gentle, gentle." And if that little child, poor as they are with fine motor skills, didn't have some capacity to be able to pat that kitten and learn as we grow older to caress it. It would be torture that God gave us delicate things if he didn't also provide that gift of the fear of the Lord with which we could reverence that. In our piety, God makes us children. He makes us little children, and this would be a torture for us to be a little child if he left us orphaned. But the same one who makes us a little child, the same Spirit who comes to the aid of our weakness and gives us the Spirit of adoption to make us children, is the same one who enables us to know the Father and reveals his face to us, a Father who loves us, Our only consolation in the poverty of being children is the fact that we also have a Father who never abandons us, who never orphans us, but is always with us and loves us. In the gift of knowledge, we come to know that all of these created things are passing away. They are nothing. The whole world, all of it around us is nothing. It's all passing away. And yet at the same time, in the gift of knowledge, we see a divine spark that's in everything. It's the delight of St. Francis, who was able to see in Brother Sun and Sister Moon, who was able to see in the water and the fire, the divine spark. The created thing in itself passes away, but there is a divine spark that leads us to the Lord. The Holy Spirit, who shows us that everything is nothing and not worth clinging to, at the same time shows us a path toward the one who is everything and wants to be eternal security for us. In the gift of fortitude, we discover, as the Holy Spirit sets forth a standard of holiness which is impossible to achieve, he shows us the mountain peak of holiness, and we have the whole cascade of saints that have gone before us. He shows us the great martyrs and penitents, the virgins and confessors. He shows us the great wonders of his holy ones. And it would just leave us frustrated at our own weakness if he didn't also provide the strength for us, not by our power, but by his power, also to find ourselves at the top of that mountain peak over which we see the vistas of Easter Mountain. Isn't that what Bishop Monforton calls this place? In the gift of counsel, we have the frustration of knowing that there is this will of God, and all of us have been in the position of helping college students, probably especially the ones at Franciscan University, who are always discerning something. Constant states of discernment, because we've been shown that there is a will of God. And we want that will because we want to know how to live this life perfectly. How do we live this life in a way that will be life-giving, that will lead us to eternal happiness? How do we live this life so that every step that we take and every word that we speak will lead us farther forward? It would be frustration to know that there was a will of God, but to have no capacity to understand how that will was actually applied to my life. But the same Holy Spirit who makes us thirsty for the will of God also provides the counsel by which we can know the will of God in our own lives. The Holy Spirit is also the one who hides truths. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us the Eucharist, which would just be frustration for us. Why in the world are we worshiping what looks like to be a piece of bread? That Holy Spirit would only be frustration for us if all we could ever see were bread. But the same Holy Spirit gives us the gift of understanding by which we are able to pierce these mysteries, intelligere, to read into these external signs and to be able to discover hidden truths. And isn't it wonderful to be able to discover things? We can think of little children on Easter Sunday who have Easter egg hunts. And it would be eternal frustration if there were Easter eggs hidden all over this wonderful mountain and no one could find any of them. But the Holy Spirit is also the same mother who hid them and the mother who leads us to help us find them. And we, not knowing any different, or think that we're the ones who have actually done the finding. And we delight in the discovery and crack open the egg to find out whatever is in there, little gifts that have been prepared for us. And it is the Holy Spirit who not only gives us a glimpse of beauty, as we have maybe when we drive along the road here and we look off in the distance and we see this magnificent chapel, this beautiful monastery, and we look at it from the outside and we wonder what could be in there. Not only does he give us the gift of beauty or even the imagination to think of what might be in the heart of another, someone who is not us, for men to look into the eyes of a woman and wonder what is happening in that feminine heart, for women to look into the eyes of a man and wonder if there is a masculine, no, wonder what's happening in that masculine heart. It is the Holy Spirit who gives us this wonder. And it is also the Holy Spirit, through the gift of wisdom, who gives us a taste from the inside, not just to look at this chapel from a distance, but to be inside of it and to discover from the interior, not just to look into the eyes of the other, but even in a mysterious way through love. Love makes us not only see from the outside, but get a taste from the inside. And it's the love with which we behold our Lord in the celebration of the Eucharist that makes us wonder what's happening in his heart. And it is the gift of wisdom that gives us a taste, a little glimpse, because it's not complete in this life. In eternal life, we will look into that face and we will be transformed, not just to see him from the outside, but to know him from the inside, to be one with him in the union of love, in the union of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes us thirsty and poor, but he also quenches our thirst and gives us abundant gifts. Let us allow him to empty us as we prepare ourselves to enter into this Eucharistic celebration. And let us allow him also to fill us with that for which we most deeply long.